Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
There's a lot going on at the Vineyard right now, isn't there? What you don't know is that there's like bribes and fistfights over who gets to give their announcement around here. There's a lot more we could say and don't. I bet you're glad that we do draw the line somewhere, right? So it's been an incredible time going through the book of Luke, hasn't it? Yes, our kids think so. They're having a lot of fun back there, aren't they? And Andy landed after 2 years our series through the book of Luke 2 weeks ago. I'm going to pick up where he left off, because Luke kind of finishes on a bit of a cliffhanger. Luke finishes with the disciples waiting on the Holy Spirit. And this is Jesus with his disciples. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Oops, sorry. "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Stay in the city. Stay in the city. And then what do? They go to the temple and they worship and they wait. They worship and they wait. We also are worshiping and waiting. Did you notice how many of the notices this morning were all about worship? We can't even fit it all in. We also are worshiping and waiting. Like the disciples, we also feel a stirring. Stirring. A longing for a move of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Pentecost marks the day that this promised Holy Spirit, the one that Jesus was talking about, that this promise was fulfilled. It's celebrated 7 weeks or 50 days after Easter, which in 2019 is on the 9th of June, 2 Sundays from now. What an opportunity we have here, don't we, to enter into this story, into the waiting, into the longing for more, just like we see at the end of Luke's gospel. Pentecost is considered the birth of the early church because thousands of people encountered Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit in one day. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then, after this, the disciples, filled with the Holy Spirit, go out and do the most unbelievable signs and wonders, and more on that in the coming weeks. I'm not going to give it all away in one talk. We'll hear more on that next week and the week after. What I find astounding is, as I've reflected on this, Jesus didn't stick around for this bit. He left them to it. He trusted them with it. And he still trusts us today, and is wanting to empower us for more. Think about it. He didn't stick around. He left them to it. Maybe you saw this story in Sunday school on a flannel graph. I did. And maybe you're hung up on the tongues of fire and how weird it all is. In these 3 weeks, our aim is to get to the heart of the real story, which is about the empowering presence of the Spirit, filling us to do far more than we can ask for or imagine. I've spoken to many of you about where we are at right now as a community. Here's what you're saying. You're saying things like, get ready. You're saying things like, get prepared. You're saying things like, get in your place, get in your position. There's a sense that the Holy Spirit is hovering over us and inviting us to get ready for whatever it is that he has for us next. The disciples didn't change their message. Their testimony about Jesus was the same, but the power was new. And we believe that the Holy Spirit wants to empower us as well. Not so that we can be weird, but so that we can change the world. I love that the Holy Spirit has interrupted our preaching plan. And that's the kind of community that we want to be. We want to be a place where we have a plan, but we're flexible with it. And when the Holy Spirit leads us in a different direction, we are so willing to do that. We want to be listening for him. We want to set our sail to catch the wind. That's the kind of place, the kind of people that we want to be. We want to be a people who pay attention, who notice what God is up to in our community and in our world. So how are we going to prepare for Pentecost? One of the ways that I'm preparing for Pentecost, because I've been listening to you and you've put this idea in my head, I only have one head, I think, is that I am praying on a regular basis, usually multiple times a day because I forget. I'm saying to the Holy Spirit, I'm ready. Not because I feel ready, I usually don't. But by praying it, by speaking it out, I'm getting ready. I like my comfort. The Holy Spirit doesn't seem to appreciate my comfort as much as I do. But anyway, I like being in control of my own life. In fact, I feel quite entitled to be in control of my own life. And so saying to him, whether I feel like it or not, I'm ready is about shifting my mindset. That it's his plan that I'm working to and not my own. It's amazing how motivated I am to do the things that I want to do. I find extra energy, extra resource, extra motivation. What about the things that he wants me to do? Telling him that I'm ready reminds me that it's his business I need to be ready for, not mine. And as a Jesus follower, my mission is to be about the Father's business. It's about me joining with what he is doing rather than him getting on board with my plans. And this is both joyful and very painful all at the same time. Are you ready? Will you get ready? How ready we are to say yes to the Spirit might depend on what we know about him or what we have experienced. You might be new to following Jesus, and this whole topic is something that you're just beginning to explore. You may have come from a church that taught about this stuff poorly, taught things that weren't true, or practiced the gifts in a way that wasn't really helpful. Wherever you fall on that spectrum, preparing for Pentecost is about coming as you are, with your story, just as I am coming with my story that I will share a bit of in a moment, and just taking the next step into more. It's just about taking that next step into more. So here's a bit about my journey with the Holy Spirit. My hope is that as I reflect a bit on my story, that it will help you to reflect on your own story so that you can get ready, so that you can take that next step. So I grew up in a church that was very strong on the Bible, and for that I am incredibly grateful. I grew up learning a lot about the scriptures, and that is a wonderful thing. I do, however, remember thinking to myself about maybe age 10 or 12, somewhere in that range. They talk a lot about the Father and the Son. They don't really say too much about the Holy Spirit. Who is this guy? I thought to myself. And when they do talk about him, he's the bad guy who convicts people of sin. It seemed to me, in all of my youthly wisdom, this activity alone didn't really justify him taking a place in the Trinity. He wasn't really pulling his weight compared to the other two. That's what I thought. It seemed to me that in my church, the Trinity would have been more accurately described as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. Please don't hear that as a dig against the Bible. It's just that in my experience, the Bible was held in higher esteem than the Spirit and was taught about more than the Spirit. Andy has very helpfully reminded us over these last few weeks of how much Jesus loved the scriptures. We see that throughout Luke. He loves the scriptures. In this community, we love the scriptures, so please don't take offense at what I have just said. This community loves the Bible, and yet the Bible is not a member of the Trinity. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he did not promise that he would be sending the completion of the Bible. No, he said, I will be sending you my Spirit. He promised them the Holy Spirit. So anyway, there I was, feeling like I'd uncovered some sort of deep, dark conspiracy theory in my church. It was very exciting, actually, but it just really didn't quite add up. So I began to read the New Testament for myself, which is always a good idea, to read the Bible for yourself. What I discovered was baffling. It seemed like the Holy Spirit used to do all kinds of stuff. And actually, in the book of Acts, it seemed like he did pull his weight. On top of that, Jesus was telling his disciples to go and make disciples in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're supposed to do what Jesus told us. So now I had a different problem. The Bible was telling me something very different than what I was seeing in my own church meetings. So I began to ask some grown-ups about this. Also a good idea. Some had next to no answers and stumbled over some words. Others in my life were very confident, and they started to talk about this big word called cessationism, which was essentially that the Holy Spirit did not work in that way anymore. I was told that the gifts of the Spirit were for a particular period in history in order to get the church going. But now that we were going, we didn't need that sort of intervention. That wasn't the words that they used, but that's kind of how I understood it. I was also warned away from the crazy parts of the Christian family who actually practiced these crazy gifts and unbiblical behavior. But anyway, these answers were completely unsatisfactory. It just didn't add up. I saw a church that was certainly going and had gotten started, but boy, we could have used some help. And then to top it all off, as a young person, the book of Acts was exciting. There was adventure. That was not my experience of church. 2 weeks ago, Andy talked about those who, rather than accepting the Holy Spirit, are trying to send him back. That was my upbringing. We were giving God the Holy Spirit back and saying, no thanks. Now, this business about the mess and the excesses of the Spirit, that's a real thing, and that did put me off for a while. Because the gifts do need to be stewarded well. So if that's your experience, you might have to process something like that. In my story, here's what happened next. I went to uni, I got on with my life, until a friend of mine invited me to a Vineyard small group. And then it gets really interesting, right? Some of you have heard how I was completely undone by the worship in that small group. I bawled, I cried so hard, there was snot everywhere. I was completely wrecked in a very good way. I'd never experienced the presence of Jesus draw so near to me in my entire life, even though I had been in a lot of church meetings. But I didn't just encounter Jesus in the worship, I encountered the Holy Spirit. And I saw, finally, after much searching, what he does. And that he is still at work through very ordinary people who actually still did the stuff. They prayed for people and they saw people healed. They cast out demons. That was some really crazy stuff, but it was real. They served the poor. They worshiped like Jesus was actually in their midst. And then something clicked for me. Because there was one other thing besides the conviction of sin that the Holy Spirit supposedly did that I had heard about as a young person. I realized that where the Holy Spirit is welcomed, Jesus is revealed. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he reveals Jesus. So how did I encounter Jesus more in that worship set than any other worship set in all of my worship sets that I'd ever been to? Because the Holy Spirit was welcomed, and the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus, and Jesus was so present in that moment. Mind blown. I was completely freaked out, and I did what every very, mature, strong Christian does. I ran. I legged it. I got out of there. I was really hungry for all of this, but I was so scared. So if this is scary to you, I totally get it. If you're worried of what might happen to you if you engage with the Holy Spirit, I totally understand. That was me too. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit manifests, and we see this here regularly, we would see what I described earlier in worship, tears, shaking, maybe eyelids fluttering. I wish that I would have known that this was normal. I wish someone would have told me sooner. Eventually, when I plucked up the courage to go back to the vineyard and, a certain young man being there had part of the play and the pull of actually going back. But anyway, that's a different story. The Holy Spirit works in all sorts of wonderful ways. That's all I will say on that. But eventually I did get further teaching and began to understand that these things were quite common. The Holy Spirit is powerful. And there is often a physical reaction. I remember receiving prayer one time and feeling heat in my body. I was like, what is happening? Holy Spirit is very powerful, very present, and sometimes things like that happen. But simple, straightforward teaching on it really helped me a lot. And one thing that I love is that our kids right now, actually one of the rooms today is learning about Pentecost in their room, and they will be far more equipped on the things that I'm talking about now than I ever was, which is really exciting to me. So anyway, I tried to run away from this stuff. But here's the thing. When I was in this community of crazy vineyard people, I felt more alive than any other time in my life. I felt more awake. I was continually challenged to reach for more. I was continually stretched and seeing things that I didn't have a box for. And boy, did that make me keep searching and keep asking questions. And it really caused my faith to grow. And now, I'm a little bit older than that, and I can look back, and I can see that searching, and I can see how he met me, and how he very gently presented so many answers to the questions that I was asking. And what I would love to say to you is, if you are searching, he will meet you too. Are you searching for more of him? What questions are you asking the Holy Spirit? Here's another thing that I discovered. I also discovered that the Holy Spirit had been showing up a lot since Pentecost. Also, that was not taught in the church I went to. I simply had no teaching on the revivals and the moves of God that have taken place for the past 2,000 years. The Holy Spirit has not ceased his activity. He did not do Pentecost and then go back to his box. He has been on the move, empowering ordinary people all the time, over and over again. His gifts have brought strength and encouragement to the body of Christ for centuries. And mismanagement of these gifts does not justify the position that they are no longer for today. We just need to steward them in the way that the Bible tells us to steward them. So before we go any further, I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit because I don't want to assume that we are all aware of who he even is. So a couple of basics, so bear with me here. The Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity, as I have said. We don't have time today to unpack the whole Trinity, but the Trinity is progressively revealed in Scripture and is one of the most important doctrines of the Christian faith. Wayne Grudem summarizes the Trinity like this: God is three persons, each person is fully God, there is one God. Summarized nicely, right? The Trinity is a mystery, and it is a beautiful one because of the way the members of the Trinity relate to one another. In the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we see a love relationship. We see unity and we see diversity. And our local friend and hero, C.S. Lewis, talks about the dance of the Trinity like this. All sorts of people are fond of repeating the Christian statement that God is love, but they seem to not notice that the words God is love have no real meaning unless God contains at least two persons. Love is something that one person has for another person. If God was a single person, then before the world was made, he was not love. It's good, isn't it? And that, by the way, is perhaps the most important difference between Christianity and all other religions. C.S. Lewis. Here's another thing. The Holy Spirit is not a force. When we describe the workings of the Holy Spirit, he is referred to as being like the wind, and that he moves, but we don't see him, like a dove, and that he can be shooed away and is gentle, or like electricity that people shake or present outwardly as if there is some kind of current flowing through their body, but he is a person, not just a force. There is a place in the New Testament where, there are places in the New Testament where the personal masculine pronoun, he, is used in relation to the Holy Spirit. In addition, the Greek word parakletos for Holy Spirit is a word for someone who helps or counsels. So what I'm saying is a number of the passages in the Bible would not make sense if he was simply a force. So if we are sending him back, we're not refusing a Christmas present that we don't like. We are refusing the third member of the Trinity and sending him back. Whilst we might have come from churches that are afraid of the work of the Holy Spirit or wary of the gifts, we need to consider the consequences of holding him at arm's length. I need to consider the consequences of when I hold him at arm's length. What is at stake when we opt out of the Holy Spirit? One of our prophetic team had a picture this morning of basically if you dip your toe in to the water, big body of water, okay? If you dip your toe in, you've got a wet toe. If you put all of yourself in and immerse yourself in the Holy Spirit, he has all of you to work with. And that is the challenge to us this morning. In the following weeks, we'll hear more about what the Holy Spirit does and how we can be empowered and filled by him. But today, the invitation is simply into relationship with him, to welcome him, to invite him in for the first time or for, I don't know, the 100th time. I love this story in Acts 19. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit." Isn't that amazing? And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. I think that's such an amazing story and very encouraging, isn't it? They hadn't heard of him, right? We might be ignoring the Holy Spirit for all sorts of reasons, including that we just simply didn't know that he existed, or we didn't know how he worked, or we didn't know how to access relationship with him. And yet, as soon as they heard of him, they desired him. They wanted more. And so my question to us, to me, is, we know of him. I know of him. But do I desire him? Do you desire him? How do we respond? What did the disciples do when they were waiting on the Holy Spirit? They worshiped. They took Jesus at his word. They had faith that he would come good on his promise, that he would send his Holy Spirit, And that is exactly what we need to do today. And we're in a better spot than the disciples because we already know and have access to the Holy Spirit. Every time we worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just like we sang so well this morning. In my experience, worship helps me to remember who God is, his nature, his character, his attributes. He is loving, he is kind, he is patient, he is good, he is faithful, and so on and so on. Following and being filled with the Holy Spirit would be terrifying if God was not all of these things. But the Holy Spirit is God, and he is all of those things, loving, patient, kind. So I can trust him. He's so gentle. I can trust him. The more I worship God, the less I want to send back his Holy Spirit. And when I feel nervous about what he may ask me to do, I remember how much he loves me. He's not simply a force that whips through us. The book of Romans says that God's love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. This is a great verse to memorize if you haven't done so yet. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Have you experienced that outpouring of the love of God directly into your heart? Do you know that? Do you desire that? I said at the start about the prayer that I'm praying, which is, I'm ready. So here's the interesting thing that's happening. You'd think that when I say I'm ready, the instant response from the Holy Spirit is great. Now get your tracts out and get out sharing the gospel with your neighbors. Start knocking those doors. Guess what? Do you know what's happening? I'm saying I'm ready, and he's saying I love you. That's who he is. He's not looking to use and abuse us. Are we ready for all that he has, beginning with the love that he has for each one of us? And that love does transform us. Things will happen on the inside that will begin to work their way into how we live and what happens on the outside. And the Holy Spirit is inviting us, Belfast City Vineyard, to get ready for an outpouring of his Spirit. Not so that we can have great meetings on a Sunday. That will be fun, but that's not really what it's about. But he loves this world. He really does. He loves me and you, and he loves this world. And he is inviting us to join with him in seeing this world transformed. His supernatural life in us, bringing transformation to the world around us. I want to tell you just a very brief story, and there's so many stories, and these guys from Kingdom Vineyard have some incredible stories as well that I've been hearing as well, so grab a coffee with them and say, hey, tell me those stories. But a couple of years ago, and this is I want to share this story because it just has that word supernatural brought this story to mind. A couple of years ago, a bunch of us from BCV and a couple of other churches put up a stall at a psychic fair, as you do. We offered to pray for healing. And, I don't know, tattoo interpretation or, I don't know, something, all kinds of weird and wonderful things. But our stall was put right next to the main psychic medium, the one that people were paying the most money to come and get their readings from. Some of you are nodding, like either you've heard this story already or you know where this story is going. Well, apparently she requested to have her booth moved because she couldn't do her readings with us next door. The power of the Holy Spirit in us is a very real thing. It's very real. The Spirit who dwells within us is powerful, and he wants to do powerful things through each one of us. The Bible tells us that we were given the authority to heal the sick and drive out demons, and there are so many sick people in this city. And there are just probably far too many demons knocking about the place as well. And what is he inviting us to do? He is inviting us to be a part of his mission. And so we want all that he has for us in this. And that starts with his love being poured out into our hearts. And that starts with us if we have tried to send him back. It's probably time to repent and say, sorry. Sorry for sending you back. I didn't know. Maybe it's just I didn't know what I was missing. I didn't know what you were trying to give to me. I didn't know the many gifts that you wanted to pour out. I didn't know how much I needed your power in order to see the things happen that I'm called to do. We cannot do the Father's work without the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand. And maybe the worship team could make their way around as well. One of the things I love about the Vineyard is that we try not to do any hype, right? So I'm just going to ask the band to wait before they start playing because we don't actually need the pads on the keyboard to make the Holy Spirit come, contrary to popular opinion. So we're just going to wait. And one thing I love about John Wimber, who started the Vineyard movement, is he just sort of sometimes he just disappeared. He just let other people at it. He didn't even stick around. He was like Jesus. He just disappeared. But he didn't try and force anything to happen. And we're not going to force anything to happen this morning. I have done my business with Jesus, and I have told him that I don't need him to do anything. I don't need the Holy Spirit to do anything. So you don't need to manifest in order to make me happy this morning. Okay? So we're just going to wait on the Holy Spirit. We're just going to wait. Someone else had a word this morning about the gentleness of the Holy Spirit. We simply say, come, Holy Spirit, and pour out the love of the Father directly into our hearts. And anything that's blocking that direct route, just pray that you would come, Holy Spirit, and reveal that to us right now. And whatever those things are, we repent and we say sorry for letting those things get in the way. Come, Holy Spirit, and pour out the love of the Father. Just pay attention. Is there like a little bit of heat? Is your hand shaking? Are your eyelids fluttering? Pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is doing. Do you have a sudden memory of something, or is there a picture in your mind all of a sudden? It's probably the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we are ready for you. And where we're not ready, help us to get ready. And you know, it's okay for your mind to wander and to be distracted. Just come back and focus in on him. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We're ready for more. If you have in any way come from a tradition or yourself personally tried to send the Holy Spirit back, there is no judgment for that this morning. There is no condemnation. But if you have done that and you want to start over, and if you're looking for more in any way that you have tried to send him back, why don't you come on up to the front? And if you would like to experience more of the love of the Father in your heart, why don't you come up as well? If you have never experienced the love of the Father poured into your heart and are longing to, would you come up? And how about this? If you have never, ever received prayer ministry before in this church, why don't you come up as well?
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.